All right. Well, good morning. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Gentry. Glad that you're here. We're in a sermon series going through the book of the Psalms, seeing how our whole life, not just on Sunday mornings, but everything we say, think, and do can be an act of worship. When you think of people worshiping, what do you think of? What comes into your mind? My guess is it's something like these pictures. One, we got a couple here, Sean, three of these. Three pictures of people worshiping. Is this what you think of people raising their hands in the sanctuary, smiling, what we just did? But I bet you don't think of these next couple pictures of people worshiping. Sorrow, expressing sadness before the Lord. Biblically, these pictures show us another type of worship that is very important but often missed in the church. And this is called lament. Lament. And even, what is lament? Lament is a prayer expressing sorrow, pain, or confusion to the Lord. Lament. Did you know that 1/3 of the Psalms is lament? 1/3. Think about that for a moment. There's 150 Psalms in the Bible. 1/3 of them are songs of sorrow, pain, and confusion. So today we're talking about worship in lament, this important practice of praying to the Lord and expressing the places where we feel suffering, pain, and confusion before the Lord. It's a vital part of our worship. Where is lament in the church? Where do you see that? I think too often in the church, we minimize and stifle lament. We forget this biblical form of worship. If someone is grieving or feeling down, we might be well-meaning, but we downplay their difficult emotions. We minimize their hard questions. And we might say quick things like, you just need to pray more, have more faith, be more positive. You're being really negative right now. We're not good at creating space for lament, both in our own lives, but also in the church. And I own that too as a church leader. I believe this, and I've thought for years, we need to have more space for lament. 1/3 of the Psalms is lament. But we don't like lament. We don't like to create space for grieving, for struggle, for difficult, painful questions and emotions, so we avoid it, we minimize it. Lament is faith under pressure. The true test of our faith isn't how much you love God through seasons of blessing, but how well you walk with God in the dark nights of the soul. When you feel forsaken, forgotten, surrounded by sorrow and darkness, that is where your faith shows up. Will you still worship God when He doesn't answer the prayer for healing and for deliverance? Will you still turn to the Lord when you are desperate? And not just the first day, but the second day, the third month, and years of waiting, will you still worship in the darkness of suffering? Today we're looking at Psalm 88. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to open your Bible to Psalm 88. It's a psalm of lament. It's known as the darkest psalm in the Bible. Why would it be the darkest psalm? Because it expresses intense sorrow with very little, minimal words of hope. If this song came out as a worship song today, the title of the song would be "Darkness is My Only Friend." Do you think that would get some airtime on like K-Love? "Darkness is My Only Friend." That's the name of the song. You need to know it's written by a guy named Haman. And knowing a little bit about Haman really will help you appreciate Psalm 88. Because it would be easy to just say, that's just for like this off to the side bad apple who's really struggling, maybe someone who's just not a good Christian. That's what Psalm 88's for. It's kind of over there, kind of push it off to the side. But Psalm 88 is written by Haman, and when you know Haman, you see that lament is a very central part of worship because Haman is one of the best in Israel. Not one of these guys who's a bad apple. He's one of the very best of the Israelites. He lived during the time of King David. He's the grandson of Samuel, the final judge of Israel. He's a Levite. He was the chief percussionist. He was a music director for Israel, and he was known for his wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31, we see Haman compared to Solomon. It says, Solomon, the most wise, even wiser than Haman. So he's second medal to Solomon, but that's not a bad second place to pick up, right? So wise, worshipful. He actually was chosen from all the singers to have the solo in the choir. He would sing before the temple of God's love enduring forever. The choir would sing, and then Haman was chosen among others to sing, God's faithful love endures forever. He's one of the best of Israel, and yet he experienced suffering, sorrow, pain, and he wrote one of the most profound psalms. Again, what's known as the darkest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 88. And we don't know what his struggle was. Was it chronic illness? Was it the loss of a child or a friend? Maybe an ongoing battle with depression and anxiety? It doesn't tell us. There's some things we can learn as we listen to Psalm 88. But we know that he wrote a song of suffering. Now, Psalm 88 is more about emotion than intellect. Sometimes we're very intellectual in how we approach God. We need to know the right answers. We need to say the right things, theology, and that's good. But Psalm 88 is about expressing lament, emotion. So we need to approach listening to Psalm 88 with our hearts, not just our heads. We need to be willing to be vulnerable. And I'll be honest with you, as I began to study Psalm 88, there was part of me that said, I don't even want to do this, right? Again, we don't like suffering. Part of me wanted to be like, there's a lot of happier psalms. Let's just find a happier psalm and do a different one. But there is blessing when we approach God's word in honesty, in vulnerability, with our hearts. God can do good work as we come to him and think about lament, more about emotion. So to warm us up in our emotions and to get us thinking that way, I want you to think of the last time you cried. When was the last time you cried? What was happening? Think of it, or a time in your life when you cried. Can you think of that? I was thinking of a time in my family where we cried recently. Some months ago, me and the boys were watching Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Has anyone seen Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom? In the first 20 minutes of this movie, we only watched 20 minutes of the movie. In the first 20 minutes of the movie, they're trying to save the dinosaurs from the island as a volcano is erupting. And they're quickly evacuating onto a boat, and they get on the boat, and they are sailing away from the island with the dinosaurs, and they turn around, and a bronchiosaurus is making its way to the beach. And the music starts to swell, and the volcano smoke is coming down, and they play it out. It goes forever. The bronchiosaurus is like, you know? And I'm starting to like cry because the strings are playing. It's the bronchiosaurus. It's like taking me back to the Land Before Time, right? And I'm crying. And then I realize my boys are in the room and they haven't said anything, but I'm like, this is not going to go well. And it didn't. Amos is like, they're going to go back for him, right, Dad? They're going to go back for them. And then when they realize they're not going back for them, anger, wailing, we turned off the movie. We had to change the subject. It did not go well. Psalm 88 leans into raw emotions. We have to approach it with our heart and our emotions. As you listen, be vulnerable. And that's an encouragement for those in the room that are in a place of grieving. God doesn't ask us to sweep our pain under the rug, smile through it. He invites us to cry out in desperation from the darkness without sugarcoating a single word. And if you're here and you're not grieving today, that's great. Praise God for his goodness and his blessings. Praise God we're not all down at the same time, that we can care for one another. You can listen to Psalm 88, because there will be a time in your life where you are grieving. We all will face suffering and grief in our lives. But you can also listen to it to think about how you can care for others who are grieving around you and be a good friend to them. Think about what they're going through. So let's listen to Psalm 88. Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out before you day and night. May my prayer reach your presence. Listen to my cry. For I have had enough troubles, and my life is near Sheol. I am counted among those going down to the pit. I am like a man without strength, abandoned among the dead. I am like the slain lying in the grave, whom you no longer remember and who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest part of the pit, in the darkest places in the depths. Your wrath weighs heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have distanced my friends from me. You have made me repulsive to them. I am shut in and cannot go out. My eyes are worn out from crying, Lord. I cry out to you all day long. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do departed spirits rise up to praise you? Will your faithful love be declared in the grave, your faithfulness in Abaddon? Which is just another name for the pit or Sheol or the grave. Will your wonders be known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of oblivion? But I call to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer meets you. Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you hide your face from me? From my youth, I have been suffering and near death. I suffer your horrors. I am desperate. Your wrath sweeps over me. Your terrors destroy me. They surround me like water all day long. They close in on me from every side. You have distanced loved one and neighbor from me. Darkness is my only friend. This is God's word for us today. And praise God that this is in our Bibles, that this is acceptable worship to God. Haman models for us what it means to worship in lament. And we're going to look at that, worship in lament. How is it worship, and what does it mean to lament? Those are kind of the two movements. First, I want you to see how Haman directs his prayer to the Lord. What makes this worship is that he prays it to God. He directs his request, his heartbreak to the Lord. In verse 1, he says, Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out before you day and night. Verse 9, Lord, I cry out to you all day long. I spread out my hands, and spreading out my hands is, it means to pray. That's what the expression to spread out my hands means. In verse 13, but I call to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer meets you. What makes this lament worshipful is the faith in expressing it upward to the Lord in his place of darkness and grief. He cries out to God. And notice that he still believes that God is good and powerful, even though he's not feeling it in this psalm. The one glimmer of hope in the psalm, there's really kind of one and a half, but the one is right there in the first verse. He says, Lord, God of my salvation. God of my salvation. And what that tells us is that as Haman is directing this song to the Lord, God of his salvation, that he still believes that God is a savior, that God is good and hears the cries of his people and wants to save them, and that God is powerful to save if only he would. So he continues to pray to the God of his salvation. There is hope in Haman, even in his lament, because he believes that God is a savior. Notice also that Haman is persistent, even tenacious in his prayer of lament. He cries out before the Lord day and night. In verse 9, all day long. In verse 13, in the morning when he rises, he prays. Do you hear the persistence of going to the Lord in lament? He's not giving up easily. He's not quitting on God. He is persistent in prayer. His tears are endless, but so is his cries of lament to the Lord. Let me ask all of us, how persistent are we in prayer when we're grieving? How quickly do we give up on God when we're suffering? Haman prayed for years. He says whatever his condition is, has been from childhood. And from childhood he has suffered and yet continued day and night to cry to the Lord in his lament. We can learn something about persistence from babies, right? What do babies do in the night when they need help? Have you ever heard a baby cry once? I don't think that even exists. No, they cry and cry and cry and cry and cry until help comes. And when they get older, they learn, Mommy, Daddy. And then they eventually learn, Mommy, 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 Mommy. And they cry and they cry. We can learn Haman's persistent cry to the Lord. He doesn't give up easily. He continues to have faith. He doesn't understand, but he doesn't give up on God. He prays persistently. Haman's lament is worshipful because he directs it to God. He believed God was a savior even though he wasn't experiencing it. And he was persistent in that prayer. Worship in lament. The majority of the song is lament, expression of his feelings to God in this prayer. So we're going to walk through six ways we see his lament, his expression of sorrow to the Lord. He shares his raw feelings. This is the first one. He felt physical pain. In verse 3 and 4, it says, Haman says, I have had enough troubles and my life is near Sheol. He feels so much physical pain, like he is about to die. He is relating to those who are already dead. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. He feels like his strength, his physical strength, is zapped. In verse 15, it says, from my youth, which tells us how long he's been suffering, I have been suffering and near death. He had some chronic physical condition that gave him great pain and suffering. I am quickly, personally, moving towards 40 very soon. And as I get older, I'm amazed at all the many ways my body finds new ways to ache. When you're young, you just have to worry about like tripping and falling and breaking a bone. You don't just ache. But as you get older, your body can just start to ache. You have to worry about sleeping the wrong way, because you could get a crick or your back or something, right? Our bodies ache. We suffer. We groan. And we all know physical pain. Where can you relate to physical suffering in your life? Headaches, body pain, stomach issues. Some here in the room are facing severe chronic physical conditions. Haman expresses that to the Lord as part of his lament. He feels close to death. He cries out to God for rescue in his suffering. Some here are dealing with heart conditions, loss of memory, cancer, struggling through treatments. And what's encouraging about Psalm 88 is that suffering is common to God's people. It's not unusual, as if something is wrong with your faith or wrong with you. It's not that you don't have enough faith or haven't said the proper prayers, Haman was again among the best of the Israelites, and he suffered. Suffering is common this side of heaven. It's a result of living in a fallen world. We groan as we wait for redemption to come in Christ. So first we see that Haman laments his physical suffering, his pain. Second, he felt abandoned by God. In verse 5, it says, he's abandoned among the dead. I am like the slain lying in the grave, whom you no longer remember. He's talking to God. And who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest part of the pit, the darkest places, in the depths. Your wrath weighs heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. This is the language of betrayal. Haman felt like he was close to God. He would sing in front of everybody about God's faithful love enduring forever. But in this moment in his life, he does not feel God's love and care. He feels abandoned, like God no longer remembers him. He feels cut off from God's love and care. You can see that Haman sees himself in a relationship with God. That's one of the things we hope everyone in the room sees themselves in, a personal relationship with God. We say, know him. That's the language we use, right? We want you to know him, to have a relationship with him. But knowing him is hard when it feels like God is not holding up his side of the relationship of love, right? We show up for worship. We pray prayers. We try to love God with our life, but then why doesn't he come through when I need him to? Haman feels that way. Have you ever felt abandoned, forgotten? Someone forgot to call you, forgot to show up, forgot your birthday or some event? Haman feels abandoned by God. And he uses two metaphors to express that feeling: darkness and waves. In verse 6, he says, in the darkest places is where God has put him, in the depths. Haman feels like what the first part of the, you know, allergy commercials where everything is black and white before they go outside. He feels stuck in that part of life where just everything is shrouded in darkness. When you are depressed, when you're suffering, the sun can be shining, people can be laughing, but not for you. Not for you. The world has lost its color. And maybe that's where you feel. And as you express that to the Lord in lament, that is acceptable worship. It's expressed in darkness. Maybe you resonate with that. You feel like your life is dark. It's also expressed in waves of water. Verse 7 says, your wrath weighs heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. In the Bible, water is connected with chaos, with death, with God's judgment. You can think of the Red Sea. You could think of the flood with Noah. In baptism, water expresses death to life. Haman feels like God is judging him, like the waves just keep crashing over him. Horatio Spafford is the man who wrote the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, and he wrote that after losing his four daughters at sea in a shipwreck. His wife made it across the ocean and wrote back to him that she was the only one who survived. His daughters, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanetta, all perished at sea. And from that place, he cried out to God, and he wrote it in a song, and you know it. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. It's a lament. He knows, he was acquainted with when it feels like God's brought this suffering upon you like waves of the ocean. They roll over you again and again and again. Haman felt abandoned by God. He also felt, third, alone. Verse 8 says, "You have distanced my friends from me. You have made me repulsive to them. You have distanced," in verse 18, "loved ones and neighbor from me. Darkness is my only friend." Have you ever felt isolated from people you care about? And sometimes the people you care about, your friends and family, are the ones that can hurt you the most when they don't return your calls or when you're not able to continue a relationship with somebody that you love dearly. Relational loss, in some ways, can be more painful than physical suffering. It cuts deep. More than just separated, they see him as repulsive. Have you ever had someone see you and mistreat you, maybe bully you, exclude you, ignore you, reject you? Haman felt that way. The brokenness of relationships. It can be painful when someone you love doesn't show you love in return. Haman felt that way and included that in his prayer of lament. Fourth, he felt trapped. In verse 8, he says, "I am shut in and cannot go out." And then in verse 17, he feels surrounded like water all day long. "They close in on me from every side." So he paints a picture of a place where he is stuck. He doesn't see any way to get out of his suffering. And sometimes we feel like that when we're struggling. No one is answering my calls as I'm trying to figure out how to get a job. No one is responding to me. It seems like this won't come to an end. The doctors don't have answers for what I'm struggling with. I'm trapped. I'm stuck. The person that I want to reconcile with doesn't want to reconcile with me. I'm trapped. I'm stuck. Haman felt like he didn't have any solutions. There was no way out. He felt trapped. Fifth, he felt perplexed. Perplexed. He didn't understand. He was confused. Look at verse 14. "Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you hide your face from me?" Have you ever prayed the prayer, "Why, Lord? Why? Why, Lord?" It's perplexed. It does not make sense to him. Haman puts God on trial. He says, "God, you are the one doing this. You are the one putting me in this place." If you read Psalm 88, it's repeated 9 times. He says, "God, you, your wrath, your overwhelming me. Your terrors destroy me. You have made me repulsive." The one who Haman trusts and worships is seemingly the source of his suffering, and he doesn't understand it. He even at one point begins to argue with God. If you look at verse 10 through 12, he starts to ask these questions. "Do you, God, work wonders for the dead? Do the departed spirits rise up to praise you? Will your faithful love be declared in the grave, your faithfulness in abaddon?" What is he doing? He's saying, "God, I know that you're a God of faithful love, but what is this? How is this going to show your faithful love? How is this going to give you glory? This doesn't give you glory. This doesn't show your faithful love. This doesn't make sense. Why are you not stepping in to change things? Wouldn't it be better, God, if you showed your power, if you showed your goodness, and you brought rescue and received glory from that?" He's arguing with God because it doesn't make sense. And this is the hard thing. There's no easy answers given here. There's no easy answers. He laments, he cries out, and it ends in darkness. Similar to Job. Job suffered. It didn't make sense. And Job cried out to God, and there were no quick, easy answers. His friends had a lot of quick, easy answers. But God was not quick to respond in that moment when there was questions. And I'll tell you, I was tempted right here to answer this question. Let me explain to everyone good answers, good reasons why God is still good and still powerful even when life hurts. I had a whole illustration about a bear and a hunter that would help us understand God's goodness in suffering. But that's besides the point in Psalm 88. Psalm 88 isn't about answers. It's about lament. It's about raw expression of sorrow before the Lord. It's tempting, though, isn't it, to just throw out a quick platitude? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It's true. But right now, what matters is his worship through lament, not the quick, easy answers. Haman doesn't understand. He cries out to God. He's not sugarcoating it. He's just saying, why, Lord? This doesn't add up. He's perplexed. And finally, he felt worn out from crying. Look at verse 9. My eyes are worn out from crying. Lord, I cry out to you all day long. I spread out my hands to you. He weeps and weeps and weeps. Tears streaming down his face. His heart continually breaking before the Lord. Have you ever cried so much that you get a headache from crying? You're worn out from your tears? I remember the weeks following our family's car accident in which we lost our two children. There was so much crying. One of the hardest parts was returning home to an empty house, to our son's bedroom, with all his toys, his drum set, his stuffed animals, his lovies, his blue. So many magical memories. But he was gone and not coming back to us. Life came to a halt, and for weeks, it felt like there would be no end to the tears. We'd go into his room and sob. We'd go downstairs, we'd turn a TV show on, and we'd sob. We even tried to go to New York City and just get away. People were like, come stay in our cabin. We didn't want to stay in a cabin. We didn't want to be quiet. We wanted distraction. We'd go to New York City, and we would go to dinners, and we'd go out on the town. But even there, our tears followed us, and we would weep before the Lord. All of us in this room have shed tears of suffering and grief. I bet we could share stories in your life where you have experienced loss and wept, where God didn't answer the prayer and you wept, where someone hurt you in a relationship and you didn't understand and you wept. Haman cries continually before the Lord day and night. His tears persist. Lament is about crying those tears before the throne of God in worship. Haman felt worn out from crying to the Lord. I think we can all relate to that. So Haman models for us lament for physical pain, feeling abandoned by God, alone, trapped, perplexed, worn out from crying. And the psalm doesn't end with a pretty bow, doesn't come back and wrap it up with an encouraging lift in the final refrain. He just leaves his lament messy before the throne of God as acceptable worship. And that tells us something. You don't have to tie a pretty bow on your prayers. God, I am so angry at you, but I know you're good and you're good all the time. You don't have to. Psalm 88 was sung among the Israelites as worship. And so it gives us permission to grieve and to grieve ugly before the Lord. It also teaches us about how to care for those who are grieving, right? Lord, forgive us. I've grieved, obviously, right? But when someone's grieving around me, I think of a friend who lost her mom, who was her best friend, and she grieved for what, and she's still grieving, I'm sure, but for a year, it just felt like, where did you go? She was always down and negative, and I wanted to just be like, snap out of it. Come on, we're trying to have a good time over here. Oh, Lord, forgive me for being an impatient, unloving person to the grieving around me. Psalm 88 teaches us we need to create space for people to have ugly cries to the Lord without a pretty bow on top, and we need to be quiet. We need to not silence them when they're being negative. And not be like, just pray about it. Let's close that up with a prayer. What we can do is we can create space to listen and to weep with those who weep, right? Romans 12, what does it say about empathy? It says, weep with those who weep. Just sit and listen and grieve with the grieving. We don't have to have, we shouldn't have pat answers. There might be a time for encouragement, but just listen. Be a better listener. Okay, so what do we take away from this, the most dark psalm of them all? Three things. First, tell God where it hurts. You have permission to grieve in worship and to worship through tears. Pray unfiltered, raw, messy, direct prayers in suffering. God can handle your lament. God can handle your grief. He can handle your big emotions, your anger, your frustration. Cry out to him in honesty. He is patient with you in suffering and near to the brokenhearted. Tell him where it hurts. And know that God is pleased and worshiped by your honest lament. Second, be persistent in seeking God's help. Have endurance. Don't give up quickly. Don't write God off because he hasn't answered your prayer immediately. We live in a culture that is so instant gratification. Haman suffered for years. We don't even know if God answered his prayer in his lifetime, but he still believed, God of my salvation, and cried out to God, waiting for the day in this life or in eternity where God would bring resolution to his cries for help. He kept beating on the doors of heaven with his need, knowing one day God would answer. Knowing that God hears every cry of his heart, he persisted in prayer. We need to be persistent. He woke up in the morning, right? He woke up in the morning and he prayed. He probably didn't feel like praying some days, but still he went to the Lord and he prayed and he brought his complaint to God. Be persistent, brothers and sisters. If you're suffering, you might feel like, I haven't seen it yet. It should have come by now. God doesn't care anymore. Don't go to that place of despair. Sure, express that pain to the Lord honestly, but keep going to him. And finally, remember Jesus understands pain. Jesus is the suffering servant who was mocked, beaten, isolated, crucified, and abandoned by his disciples, but then ultimately forsaken by God as all of our sin was placed on his shoulders so that we could be saved. He experienced darkness. He experienced the waters of God's wrath and judgment so that we might be forgiven and saved from sin and death and suffering. Jesus experienced pain and suffering so that one day you and I could be saved from all suffering. God loves us that much. In your suffering, turn your eyes to Jesus and know he understands, and also know he has made a way for us to be saved. Worship and lament. Haman shows us the way. This is acceptable worship. May we bring our sorrow, our grief, our confusion to the Lord and worship here and privately at home in our groups. May we learn to worship and lament. One third of the Psalms is lament. We need to grow in this form of worship.